Bully Bowler was actually the manager of an outlying ranch owned by Britons. His name was honestly earned. He was a massive man, 50 pounds heavier than me, and quick to make full use of his strength. He had massive fists, a thick neck, and a thicker skull. He ruled supreme out of his spread by simply pounding any cowboy who didn't toe the line. Now he was in Doubtful, making noises I didn't want to hear. I donned my overcoat and hat and plunged into the icy wind, headed for the Wyoming Hotel. Some said the hotel was the only good place between Laramie and Douglas, with two sheets on every bed and a tablecloth on every table. I wouldn't have known the difference and didn't care. But I cared about Bully Bowler's threats, and that's what took me over there. Bully never traveled alone, and I found him with four of his skinny cowboys sitting at a table in the dining room smoking cigars.
You were looking for me?
Bully tapped some ashes over the remains of a pancake, smiled, and nodded. He said nothing, making me wait, but I didn't press the man and stood quietly. One of Bully's boys sipped coffee, looking a little smirky.
Well, I guess I was mistaken. Someone told me you wanted to see me.
I turned to leave.
Pickens, stay put.
Bully still offered no explanation. I waited a moment and started to leave. The hell with it. But a massive paw, lightning fast, caught my belt and yanked me back to the table.
Now, Sheriff, you listen, even if you're wetting your pants.
Bowler let go of my belt just before I was about to do something about it.
The boys are coming into town New Year's Eve. They're going to have a fine time. Every ranch hand in the area, 300, 400, in for a whoop-de-doo. You ain't going to shut down the place.
I'm glad you think so.
Because you won't want anything bad to happen to your supervisors.
I just kept quiet.
Because that's what's going to happen.
Well, thanks for letting me know, Bowler.
I ain't done with you yet, you little fart.
I didn't think so.
That dry law, it's going to be repealed. And if it ain't, you ain't going to enforce it. That law's dead as poison wolf.
You going to repeal it?
I already did.
I haven't seen it published yet. Supervisors do it?
Pickens, I always heard you're thick between the ears.
If it's not repealed, why do you say it is?
That law's gone away, sonny boy. Gone. That's what I'm telling you. Now beat it.
Just your say-so, is it, Bowler?
I'm tired of you.
Guess I'd better protect you from them temperance women. You better stop in my jail, and I'll lock you up safe and sound.
That started the crew laughing. But Bully Bowler stuck out an arm and grabbed my shirt and yanked me forward. I hadn't seen it coming. Then the manager's iron arm shoved me backward over the table. I landed on the far side, sprang up, and bulled into Bowler. I hammered at the man. Bully Bowler simply grinned, let me discover what I faced, and then lowered the boom. Two pops with those ham hands, a knee to the groin, couple of elbows. Then I was sprawled on the dining room carpet, discovering hurts I never knew I could enjoy. But Bully didn't quit. A few kicks with his boots caught my ribs, and that was the signal for his four henchmen to join the act. Every time I tried to get up or fight, all five of them got in their licks. And I got the arithmetic lesson and quit.
Some sheriff you are, Pickens.
I was more interested in all the ways I hurt than in my reputation.
Give me that rag.
One of the henchmen handed him a tablecloth. Swiftly, Bully wrapped me in it and yanked another cloth from another table and wrapped that around me until I was wrapped in a winding sheet that was tied tight with anything handy, including scarves and belts. I was as helpless in my cloth prison as if I'd been lowered into a grave. My arms were pinned so tight I couldn't get any purchase on anything, and my legs were wrapped too close that I couldn't even bend them.
Let's show this town what kind of sheriff it's got.
One of the ranch hands pulled the pins out of a hinge and freed the wooden door into the kitchen. They loaded me on the door, and the pallbearers lifted the catafalque and marched into the bitter cold. One of those hands settled my hat on my chest as the cortege proceeded up Wyoming Street, through the heart of town, past the shops and eateries, straight up the one street where no one would miss the show, and toward the courthouse square
my sheriff's office, and jail. It might be December, but people flooded to windows and opened doors to view the horrible sight.
Is he dead?
Might as well be.
I eyed Mayor Waller and then spotted Turk, the livery owner, and watched Hubert Sanders watching the spectacle from his bank window. I saw Leonard Silver, owner of the Emporium, peer from his door and spotted Doc Harrison studying the parade from the beanery. And there was nothing I could do. If they wanted a sheriff who strode through town with a six gun at his hip, a sheriff whose frown stopped little boys from tossing firecrackers at dogs, whose squint deterred burglars, whose beckoning finger corralled drunks, whose bold gaze intimidated cowboys bent on shooting up the town for sport, they could only be dismayed. The young man they'd employed to keep the lid on Doubtful and keep all the he-cats and she-dogs at bay, namely me, was being hauled through town like dead meat. The message was clear. Doubtful was at the mercy of the ranchers and cowboys, and they intended to celebrate their New Year's Eve exactly as they always had. And if there was any trouble, they'd show the citizens of Doubtful just who owned Pima County.
Come in right now!
Women emerged from doors, saw the awful spectacle, and herded their children inside. The carriage horse whinnied and reared, the spectacle too much for its equine temperament. Bully led the parade, smiling cheerfully, but otherwise not acknowledging the crowds, while his four ranch hands carried the door, one at each corner.
What you doing in the winding sheet, Pickens?
I could think of no answer, so I kept quiet. My ma used to say that there was no way out of a winding sheet. Maybe they'd let me go.
Ha! Send me a postcard!
I still hurt, and the cold was reaching me. I couldn't wiggle enough to keep warm. And still, Bully's parade marched onward, turned, heading now toward Saloon Row, the very blocks where I, Sheriff Pickens, always walked tall and subdued rough men in a rough neighborhood. This was going to be the most painful of all. I'd kept order there mostly because troublemakers knew I'd whip them one way or another. But now every lowlife and Doubtful was going to see me wrapped tight in tablecloths. By the time we reached Saloon Row, every barfly and tavern keeper was on hand. Somehow word had buzzed ahead and the show had arrived. I spotted a few lowlifes I'd thrown into my iron cages a time or two, some for public intoxication, some for threatening with weapons, some for brawling. And now they were enjoying the sight of their nemesis bound helplessly on a door. What sort of message was all this? I resisted a sudden impulse to resign and load up Critter with all my worldly goods and head for Argentina or someplace. Bully Bowler steered his pallbearers toward Lover's Lane, as some called it, and there the ladies flocked to the windows to watch.
Looks like you could use a drink, Sheriff.
Some waved, some blew kisses. Most of them giggled, and a few flashed a little flesh. There was nothing like seducing a man tied up tighter than a hog going to market. But eventually, the cortege slid past the body houses. Bully Bowler headed for the sheriff's office, either tired of the sport or content that he had delivered an indelible message to the county supervisors. In any case, Bully and his boys entered the sheriff's office, dumped me on the cold floor, stole one set of jail keys and departed with the hotel door. Not a word was spoken. Not a warning. Not a lecture. Not a joke.